Psalm chapter 17, as we continue our musings and meditations on this psalm. Last week, when we started looking at Psalm 17, we began to see in the first portion of this psalm, verses 1 through 5, where David was praying for the Lord to vindicate his integrity, that is, David's integrity. This morning, we're going to consider verses 6 through 12. And here we see David offering up another petition to the Lord, because as I pointed out last week, this is a prayer of David. That's what it says in the title. So, not exclusively a psalm, but a prayer of David. And in this next petition that David offers up to the Lord, he is praying very specifically for the Lord's protection, for the Lord's protection from these adversaries, these wicked and violent, deadly enemies that not only were surrounding David, but as we will see in this portion of the prayer, David is praying for the people of God, not just for himself. Thus he says in verse 7, for instance, wondrously show your steadfast love, O Savior, of those who seek refuge from their adversaries at your right hand. And so David goes, he'll go back and forth between the singular and the plural in his pronouns here of what he is petitioning the Lord for, specifically protection, and protection from enemies that he describes as deadly enemies. Deadly enemies. Now, the first thing that I want us to consider is the way in which David petitions the Lord for protection. Now, I'm sure that for all of us in general as Christians, we pray for the Lord's protection. We probably just pray just in a very general way. Lord, I pray that you'll protect me, you know, that you'll guard me, etc. But I want you to notice the very peculiar way that David petitions the Lord here for protection. In verse 6, he begins by saying, I call upon you, for you will answer me, O God. Incline your ear to me, hear my words. And then notice verse 7. Wondrously show your steadfast love. Now, the term that the English Standard Version translates here, wondrously show, that's one word, one verb in the Hebrew text of this verse. It's the main verb. But to translate it as wondrously show, it's not the best translation. A far better translation, which gets to the root meaning of the Hebrew term that's used there, is the word distinguish. Distinguish me. Make a difference. Set me apart. In fact, if you go to Exodus chapter 8, Exodus chapter 8, and look at verse 22, the exact same Hebrew term that we see at the beginning of verse 7 in Psalm 17 is used in Exodus 8:22. In fact, it's used three times in this particular record of the plagues that God unleashed on Egypt. Okay? And three of those in the record of three of those plagues, this Hebrew term that's translated in Psalm 17, verse 7, as wondrously show, is translated another way, which really gets more to what is at the root meaning of this term. So Exodus chapter 8 and verse 22, the Lord said to Moses that he wanted Moses to rise up early in the morning and go to Pharaoh and deliver this message to Pharaoh. And so part of the message that Moses was to deliver to Pharaoh from the Lord, in verse 22 of Exodus 8, the Lord says this to Pharaoh, "But on that day, I will set apart the land of Goshen where my people dwell, so that no swarms of flies shall be there, that you may know," speaking to Pharaoh here, "that you, Pharaoh, may know that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth. Thus," verse 23, "I will put a division between my people and your people." Now, the term in verse 22, the term translated set apart, "but on that day I will set apart," that term is the same Hebrew verb translated wondrously show in verse 7 of Psalm 17. So here's David in Psalm 17, and he is petitioning the Lord specifically for protection from his adversaries, but in that petition, he is saying unto the Lord, "Lord, I pray that you will distinguish me and set me apart from my enemies, showing that I am different from them. I am the peculiar object of your love, of your care." Make it clear to my adversaries just who I am. David says, "Wondrously show," or better, "distinguish me by your steadfast love," which that term steadfast love is the Hebrew hesed, your covenant love. So here's David praying for the Lord's protection. And in that petition, he is saying, "Make it clear to my enemies that I am the special object of your care. I'm the special object of your committed covenant love. That I am set apart from them." Why? Because you have set your covenant love on me. Have any of you ever prayed that way for protection? Now, one may ask the question, "But I thought that God loved everybody, everyone equally, everyone unconditionally." Well, I know that's a popular concept, but it's dead wrong. It's absolutely wrong. Because if that concept is right, then guess what? David is praying the wrong prayer here. David is petitioning the wrong thing, if that's true, that God's love for everyone is equal. It's without exception. He loves everybody equally. But that is not true. Oh no, God does not love everyone equally. Yes, he has a benevolent, general love for mankind as a whole. And we see that taught, as a matter of fact, in Matthew chapter 5, when Jesus commands us to love our enemies. And he uses the Father as the example, saying that the Father causes his Son to rise on the good and the evil. He causes his rain to fall on the just and the unjust. And so there is that example of the benevolent, general love, the common grace, as we would call it rightly in theology, the common grace of God on all of mankind. However, the sovereign grace, the covenant love of God is exclusive for His people. Those upon whom He set His love before the foundation of the world, those He chose before the foundation of the world that He gave to His Son as a gift of love, as an object of special redeeming saving love. Oh no, He loves His people in a way that He doesn't love everybody else. Now, brothers and sisters, that should not be difficult for us to understand. It really should not be. Let me tell you why. Because in our marriages and in our families, we have a love for our spouse if we're married, a love for our children if we have children. We have a love for them that is very different than what love we have for anybody else in this world. As a husband, how I love my wife is set apart. It's different. It's peculiar. It's not common than whatever love I would show to any other woman in this world. No, she's special. I'm in covenant with her. That's a committed covenant love toward her. My children, okay? I love them in a way I don't love anybody else's kids because they're my children. They're my flesh and blood. Is that difficult to understand? Do you honestly think anybody's going to argue against that and say, well, now, Kirk, come on, that's not fair. You should love every woman equally. You should love all kids equally. No. No, you know exactly what I'm saying, and you get it, and you understand it, and I know you agree with it. Well, listen, brothers and sisters, it's no different with God. It's no different with God. And so here is David, and David is calling upon the Lord to make it manifest to his enemies that he, along with the rest of the people of God, are the special objects of God's love and care. The special objects. That they are the ones whom God has covenanted with in showing a loyalty and a committed love that he does not show to anybody else. And that is what is so remarkable about that first petition in verse 7. That's remarkable because so many Christians don't think like that. They don't think like that. They don't think in that category. But if you understand the sovereign election of God, it's not hard to think in that category. Not hard at all. But then look at verse 8 of Psalm 17. David is continuing to petition the Lord for protection. He says, "Keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wings from the wicked who do me violence, my deadly enemies who surround me. Keep me as the apple of your eye." This is just another way, but using completely different terms, a completely different analogy of David saying, Show my adversaries that I'm the special object of your care and love. The verb translated keep means to protect. It means to guard, okay? Guard me, keep me as what? As the apple of your eye. Now, what is that referring to? Obviously, that's figurative language. It's metaphorical. The apple of your eye is your pupil. It's your pupil. The most sensitive part of the human eye. No part of the human eye is more sensitive, more delicate than the pupil. And David is saying to the Lord, guard me and protect me for who I really am to you, the apple of your eye. Again, this should not be difficult for us to understand. How quickly do we guard our pupil? You know, I mean, it's so sensitive. It's so incredibly sensitive. And we do everything to guard our eyes in that way until nothing reaches our pupil. Just so sensitive. And David, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is describing himself as the apple of God's eye. That's that wonderful anthropomorphic language. But it's a beautiful poetic analogy. That you, child of God, you are to the Lord the apple of His eye. You're the apple of His eye. What incredible regard God has for His own. For His own. And David is calling upon this regard. He's calling upon this love, this care. And he is saying, Lord, because of who I am to you, the apple of your eye, the special object of your love and care, distinguished, set apart from the rest of the world, I pray, therefore, based on this, that you will protect me. You will guard me. From my deadly enemies who surround me. In verse 10 through verse 12, David moves then from the petition for God's protection from his enemies to then describing how deadly his enemies really are. And here we see the insolence, the intention, and the image of his enemies. First, there is the insolence of his enemies. Verse 10, they close their hearts to pity. With their mouths they speak arrogantly. They close their hearts to pity. What does that mean? David is saying, my enemies are completely heartless. They have no sympathy whatsoever toward me. They are not sensitive in the least degree to my care, to my welfare at all, period. None whatsoever. They close their hearts to pity. Completely, totally insensitive. With their mouths, they speak arrogantly. Meaning that the things they say about me or the things they say to me is with complete and total contempt and disdain for who I am. But then notice their intention. Verse 11. They have now surrounded our steps. Now notice David he's using the plural there, our steps. They set their eyes to cast us to the ground. They set their eyes to do what? To cast us to the ground. Here's how deadly these enemies are. David is saying they want to completely annihilate us. They are not intending in the least degree of giving any quarter to us whatsoever. If they can get their hands on us, if they can get what they really desire, they intend to ruin us, destroy us completely. Completely. They do not want us to get up. Once they put us down, they're putting us down for good. And it's what you would say in military language, no quarter. No quarter. They're not going to show any mercy whatsoever. But then notice the image that David paints in verse 12. The way that he sees them, this imagery, he is like a lion eager to tear, as a young lion lurking in ambush. These enemies are not your run-of-the-mill enemies. As David describes them in verse 9, they are deadly, because that is exactly what they're intending to do. They're intending to destroy the people of God, but especially David, who is the king. They want the king. They want the head, the leader. They're after him, most of all. It is no wonder that you read in verse 13, which we'll get to next week, but it's no wonder that David, in the opening of verse 13, he says, "Arise, O Lord, confront him, subdue him." No wonder he's exclaiming such a petition like that to God because of the kind of enemies he's facing. They're not just calling David bad names. They're seeking to kill him, to take him out, along with all of those who are with him. And thus David petitions the Lord in this part of Psalm 17. "Wondrously show, distinguish me, set me apart by your steadfast love, your covenant love, O Savior of those who seek refuge from their adversaries at your right hand. Keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me in the shadow." And that term shadow is metaphorical for, again, protection. "Hide me in the protection of your wings from the wicked who do me violence, my deadly enemies who surround me." Now, beloved, you might wonder, how in the world can we relate to a petition like this? I mean, sitting here as we are, I mean, we're not surrounded at this moment with enemies on the outside with loaded guns and seeking to come in and annihilate us because we are the people of God. How do we relate to this? I'll tell you how we can relate to this. While we may not be facing exactly the same kind of enemies that David was facing here, yet, understand, there are brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ in this world at this very hour who are facing these very kinds of enemies. In third world countries, in the Middle East, in that 1040 window, as it is called, in northern Africa, there are Christians who are facing these kinds of enemies, even now. So what should we do as their family, as their brothers, as their sisters in Christ? What should we do? We should pray what David prays for them. That God would distinguish them as the special objects of his love and care in the face of their adversaries. That he would protect them and guard them as the apple of his eye. We should intercede for our brethren across this world who are facing a level of persecution that we have never, ever faced in this country. There are still Christian martyrs, brothers and sisters, still. There are still saints of God who die for their faith in Christ. And our hearts should bleed for them and pray for their protection. So let us pray. Our holy, eternal Father, we do indeed beseech you in this great hour that as your servant David prayed so long ago, that you would distinguish him and set him apart and make a difference between him and his adversaries by showing and proving by your divine protection that he was the special object of your love and care, and thus delivering him from his enemies. Holy Father, we know because of what your word teaches us and reveals to us that that same covenant love that David was the special object of is the same covenant love that all of your people are the special object of. And right now, Father, we think in particular of our dear brothers and sisters across this world, in countries, in cities, in towns, in villages that are facing adversaries of the same degree of violent intention as your servant David faced, as your people Israel faced in his day and time. We plead with you, blessed Father, earnestly in behalf of our brethren who even at this very hour are being hunted down by adversaries who want to cast them to the ground, who do not want to give them any quarter whatsoever, who want to put them down in such a way to where they never rise up again, because they are your people, O God. They are identified with Jesus Christ. And we ask you this morning, Father, that even as David prayed, may you guard and keep your dear saints at this hour in this world who are facing the same adversaries. May you keep them as the apple of your eye. May you, Lord, may you hide them in the shadow of your wings. May you free them, deliver them from such enemies, from such adversaries who hate them and disdain them, Lord, because they hate and disdain you. And so we therefore pray, as David prayed, arise, O God, confront them and subdue them, even now, for the sake of the Son of your love, to whom all the elect have been given to him by you, Father, as a gift of love. These saints that Jesus shed his blood for on Calvary's Hill, we pray that you'll protect them, that you'll set them free, and you will put down their enemies, Lord, who are your enemies. This we pray earnestly for the sake of our Lord Jesus and in his name. Amen.